I call this meeting to order. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Eugene Connors?
Here.
Councilmember Joan Hansen?
Here.
Councilmember Shirley Dowdy is excused. Mayor Ronald Ertley?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Anna Klein?
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn?
Here.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan?
Here.
City staff, Justin Johnson, City Manager, Ashley Coronado, City Clerk, Sharon Bono, Finance Director, Mark Berlinite, Fire Chief, Andy Heratic, Interim Public Works Director, Elda Orduño, City Attorney.
Thank you very much for the invocation tonight. Let us turn our thoughts to the people we have known over the past year who have passed away and have a moment of silence. Thank you. Let us stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a few announcements to make tonight. Start off with this. On January the 9th, 1902, the city of Bisbee was incorporated with the first mayor by the name of Josie Muirhead, who was actually from Canada, which I guess would make us an international city. So happy birthday to the city of Bisbee this Saturday, the 9th of January. I also have a few service awards to hand out to some various people here tonight. We'll start off with the Extraordinary Service Award. This certificate is presented to Joy Timbers in recognition of her outstanding dedication and service to the city of Bisbee. Joy, would you want to come up? Another service award. Once again, Extraordinary Service Award. This certificate is presented to Charlene Snooty Borowick in recognition of her outstanding dedication and service to the city of Bisbee. And we have another service award. Extraordinary Service Award. This certificate is presented to Audrey Lucci Giacomino in recognition of her outstanding dedication and service to the city of Bisbee. That concludes the announcements tonight. Next, we are going to go to call to the public. We have a few people signed up. We'll start off with Richard Green.
Hello, everybody. I'm Richard Green. I live at 603 Tombstone. I started a petition, and you probably all heard this before, but I'm going to repeat myself a little bit for people who haven't. This is a letter I'm going to submit to the Bisbee Observer. The United States is now an oligarchy, said the former President Jimmy Carter last summer. An oligarchy is defined as a small group of wealthy people that controls the government. Of the many ways to take back our democracy and save our republic, besides campaign finance reform and breaking up the media consolidation, is to take back our financial system. The city of Bisbee can begin to do this. According to the state's treasurer's website, the city has close to $500,000 in the local government investment pool, which is run by the state treasurer's office. The majority of that money finances the Wall Street banks of Citigroup and Wells Fargo, both in their repossession divisions that forecloses on people's homes. Divestment is the opposite of investment. Divestment means that you take your money out of a particular bank or industry that uses your money for something you do not want to support. Divestment as a tactic was used to break up big tobacco end the racist South African apartheid system and is now focusing on dangerous fossil fuel development that exacerbates climate change. There is a petition to sign located at the Bisbee's Food Co-op on the front counter. The petition reads, "Divest our money from Wall Street and invest our money in Main Street. We, the undersigned residing in Bisbee, urge the city government to, number one, create a fund that invests in socially responsible projects that are environmentally sustainable, like renewable energy, organic farming, mass transit, and lending to small businesses, etc. Number two, start to divest its holdings from large Wall Street banks, dangerous fossil fuel development, and weapons of war. And number three, allow citizens to invest in and donate to this fund to get it initiated. Even if the city of Bisbee fails to take these steps to help end this oligarchy, there is much you can do to help us take back our democracy. If you bank at the Wall Street banks, you can move your money to a local bank or credit union. I bank at the Arizona Southwest Credit Union, or there's the locally owned bank called Western Bank on Main Street in Old Bisbee that has a AAA rating for lending to small businesses. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we will go to Karen Shoemaker.
I live on Clawson Avenue. My name's Karen Schumacher. When I'm not physically at city council meetings, I often watch them at home thanks to KVRP. About a month ago, while I was watching, I heard the mayor ask Mr. Richard Green to keep his call to the public brief while others were allowed to speak with no time guidelines at all. I do not believe the mayor did this intentionally. I think it was simply an oversight. But because of this occurrence, among others, I request that pursuant to Bisbee City Code, each member of the public be allotted the same exact amount of time to speak and no more for the sake of equality, prudence, and conservation of time. I think it's also important to note that City Code forbids personal, impertinent, or slanderous remarks at City Council meetings. Your time, Council and staff, is precious, as well as the journalists and members of the public who attend these meetings. So my belated holiday gift, both symbolic and physical, to the Council is this timer. As the budgetary issues of our city loom closer and become more of a topic at these meetings, I believe that enforcement of these city codes will keep these meetings orderly, civil, and fair. Thank you guys for everything you do.
Thank you. I'm going to do a point of order on that particular call to the public if there's no objection from the city attorney. I don't recall restricting Mr. Green, and my policy on the call to the public, if is it around 3 minutes or so, I have no problem with that. If it gets redundant and extremely long, then I will make a comment. And the reason for that is there's very few opportunities for the public to have to be able to come up and talk to, right in our face, to the council and staff of ideas and thoughts that they have. So I'm very liberal with that, so I don't recall cutting him off. I might have reminded him that he might have been getting a little too wordy or lengthy. So anyway, that's my view on call to the public, so I don't have a clock to time people on that. That's what I do. Next, we have Mackenzie Music. Hope I'm getting your last name right. Better keep it to 3 minutes. I'm joking.
What?
Go ahead.
My name is Mac Music. I live at 814 Pittsburgh Avenue. And I might be getting a bit ahead of myself here, but I wanted to make some comments regarding the topic tonight, if in fact it is having to do with the discussion of forming a fire district. And I just want to speak in opposition to that based on my experience of owning two homes here in Bisbee, once in the county and once in the city at 814 Pittsburgh. I'm just really concerned about some double taxation that occurs to homeowners when something causes their home to be considered high risk. It had a huge impact on my homeowner's insurance regarding the house out on West Mule Pass, because I had to split up my insurance provider was USAA and has been for 30 years. And when it was determined that I was in a high-risk area because I'm outside the city boundary. It had a big economic impact. So I'm just urging that we be very, very cautious about what might affect property tax increases as well as homeowners insurance increases. And that's my comment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mackenzie Music. Next, we are going to go to Susan Blackford.
I'm learning. Happy New Year to all. Susan Blackford Warren, concerned citizens of Bisbee. City manager, what is the real reason for firing the Public Works Director Tom and head of the library Peg just before Christmas, when people are busy with the holidays and not paying attention during this time? Looks like you are following the White House plan. I have heard three different reasons coming from you directly. Let's review the one stated in the Bisbee Observer that stated you said it was done for budgetary reasons. Andy is going all over town stating that Tom was going to retire in 2016. As you know, you were in discussions with him on staying. Why was the city retirement process not followed? Why was the city council not notified in the last budget meeting that this was being done, thus putting them at risk? Have we heard Tom's side? Have we heard Paige's side to all this action? This town is owed the truth on how this was really handled. City manager, why do you not volunteer like the mayor and councilperson Hansen did this summer on taking a pay reduction? The city employees were forced to take furlough, and I know that it affects you as well. But as the highest paid city employee, nearly $90,000 in benefits, and if then, the real reason is to cut city expenses for the 2016 budget, then you should take a pay cut as well, right now. It was discussed in 2013 by Gene Connors, Fred Miller, and others that the new city manager should be offered a much lower salary at $65,000. Why was that not done? Let's look into reasons for this not being done, especially since this city manager has had no previous experience as a city manager. What are we going to do without a certified public engineer as a public work director? Neither Andy or you as city manager are trained as a certified engineer. Remember, Mr. Climat bought in over $10 million in free grant money in 6 years, and some of that was used for Tin Town Project. There is about $25 million to come in this spring and summer. Who has the knowledge to make sure that this money will be delivered? Not you, city manager, Andy, have the knowledge or experience. Some of this money is to complete the Tin Town Project. With Mr. Climat gone, are you as city manager going to promise that this project will be complete? You owe this town the real reason, who you work for, and the city council, why you as a city manager, by putting the city in peril, by letting the best public works director go that we've ever had. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Susan Blackford. I believe that concludes call to the public. Next, we will go to item number one, accounts payable. Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $341,399.74.
I second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $341,399.74. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two. Approval of the consent agenda, items A through M, and I will read those. A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on November the 17th, 2015 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on December the 1st, 2015 at 7 p.m. C, approval of the minutes of the regular session of Mayor and Council held on December the 15th, 2015 at 7 p.m. D, approval of the resignation of Faye Hosey from the Library Advisory Board. E, approval of the reappointment of Charles Perry, Richard Soto to the Airport Advisory Committee. F, approval of the reappointment of Charles Snitty Borowick and Audrey Giacomino to the Evergreen Cemetery Committee. G, approval of the reappointment of Jennifer Johnson, Karen Justice, and Cindy Combs to the Library Advisory Board. H, approval of the reappointment of Jennifer Graham and Ken Wallace to the Civil Service Commission. I, approval of the reappointment of Kay Lynn Cummins, Lawrence Cummins, and Audrey Giacomino to the Parks and Recreation Committee. J, approval of the reappointment of Kerry Gustafson to the IBISB Committee. K, approval of the reappointment of Stanley Stern to the Municipal Property Commission. L, approval of the reappointment of William Bagby to the Public Safety Personal Retirement Board. And M, approval of the reappointment of Judy Anderson to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve the consent agenda items A through M.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through M. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval of a formal letter to Freeport Mac Moran Incorporated regarding a possible land donation. Just a little bit of background. We do have one person signed up for this item. Freeport Mac Moran requested a formal letter from the City of Bisbee regarding the possibility of a land donation to the City of Bisbee to the Foundation for Senior Living for the construction of housing units for the low-income elderly, and we are moving along this road very, very rapidly, and I believe it will happen, and I believe it will happen this year. We do have one person signed up, chairman of the IBISBee committee, who's been a great asset to the city as far as this project is concerned, Mr. Stanley Stern.
Thank you, Mayor. On June 8, 2015, the mayor and I found ourselves at a dinner for the Urban Land Institute prior to their panel discussion the following day. As everybody moved to tables at Rocca to sit down, the mayor and I found ourselves sitting down with one person who turned out to be Michael Traylor, the head of the Arizona Housing Authority, the statewide office, and a member of the governor's cabinet. Our informal dinner turned into a working session very quickly because we began to discuss with Director Traylor the idea of providing housing for low-income people, senior citizens in Bisbee. Our meeting lasted for an hour and a half, and I will tell you it was very much a working session. At the end of that meeting, we agreed that we would talk with Director Traylor by telephone after the panel discussions. Shortly thereafter, we had a discussion with Director Traylor in which Councilman Dunn and Councilman Connors were involved. The discussion led to who could we work with to arrange for affordable housing in Bisbee. We were given two suggestions, and we decided the first suggestion was a organization out of Phoenix, and the second one was an organization out of Oregon. We decided to have a discussion with the Phoenix organization, which is called the Foundation for Senior Living. They are one of the leading organizations in Phoenix to work with senior citizens. They also have 18 large projects for senior citizens for living accommodations. Those are throughout the state. We then met with the representatives of the Foundation for Senior Living, and we discussed having in Bisbee a program for affordable housing for senior citizens. And senior citizens in this regard are people 62 years or older. The conversations went well, and we decided to move forward under the mayor's leadership. Our next meetings were with representatives of the Foundation of Senior Living and Freeport Mac Moran. We approached Freeport Mac Moran wondering if there would be land available for the creation of a 40 to 60 unit senior citizen facility. And the definition of a unit is 650 square feet to 850 square feet with kitchen facilities and built for seniors. In other words, no sharp corners. Everything with rounded corners. The representative of Freeport McMoran, Robert Quintanara, could not have been more gracious to us. He indicated that they would be interested in helping us in providing us land that was owned by Freeport, and then suggested four particular parcels of land. We then visited with the Foundation of Senior Living representative who came back to Bisbee, and we then looked at the four parcels of land and selected one parcel on Trailer Avenue. Is that right, Andy? Trailer Avenue?
Taylor.
Taylor Avenue. On Taylor Avenue in Ward 3. The land is very deep and is obviously has no minerals on it. Our discussions then led to the idea of creating a park in Ward 3 since there is not a park facility there. Again, the Freeport people could not have been more accommodating. And they thought that was a wonderful idea of putting a park in front of the senior citizen living group. So we would have senior citizens as well as our young people all in one area. We have now moved forward in time where the Freeport McMoran people have consulted at their international offices and are aware of the program and are now suggesting and requesting a formal letter from the mayor requesting this land. We have not designated how many acres of land we're going to need yet, but we have designated the area that we want to develop for the senior living facility and for the park. So that's what tonight is about, is the agreement to have a formal letter go forward to Freeport McMoran and move the project forward. The people at the Foundation of Senior Living have already instituted a marketing study for this area, and the objective is a filing with the Department of Housing in the state, a formal application in March. And at this point, we can report at least the progress is going forward, but please remember this is a work in progress. Any questions, Mayor?
Any questions from the Mayor and Council? Councilmember O'Sullivan?
Yes. I just have a couple questions. The park, would that be built and owned and run by the Foundation for Senior Living, or would that be a separate development?
It would be owned by the city. As part of the agreement so far, they would provide maintenance for the park for a 10-year period.
Very nice. Also, I guess this would be up to the Foundation for Senior Living, but as far as those chosen to receive the units, would there be a special preference for people that have been living in Bisbee? Because I know that there's a certain fear or whatever that we're really using it more as a business opportunity and that people will be moving here from out of town, which I'm not saying I'm for or against that, but I was curious if that was part of the impetus was for more of a business getting more people in or more like housing people that are already in Bisbee needing housing.
We can answer the question the following way. In their previous 18 experiences, 50% of the population came from the zip code in which the facility was located. 25% more came from within the state, and 25% came from out of state. Our objective is to have senior living accommodations for the city of Bisbee.
Thank you.
Council Member Klein.
I don't have any questions. I just have a comment. And I really wish to thank Mr. Stern and Mayor Ertley for all their work on this. I know that they've been working very, very hard with Freeport. And I think it's a great thing. It's very needed here. And the park was just the icing on the cake. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Councilwoman.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Councilmember Hansen.
I just want to piggyback on what Councilman Member Klein said. This is so exciting to be one step further down the line and to know that this is going to happen. And I want to thank both the mayor and Mr. Stern for their work in doing this and the iBisbee committee who really were in there just, I don't want to say fighting, but really getting things done. And it's a tremendous tribute to the iBisbee committee themselves.
Thank you.
Let me just say we left one person out. Fred Miller has also been involved in this as well.
Very much.
So it's been a very pleasure. You have further comments, Mr. Stern?
I have no further comments, Mayor.
We have moved this down from kind of an accidental seating arrangement at a restaurant. And so it's sometimes little accidental things like that can turn into incredible, wonderful things. I do want to say that the former council member Benny Scott, I would like to be the liaison to that neighborhood to see that those people understand what's going on, and he's agreed to do that, and I very much appreciate that, Mr. Scott. This is going to become an increasing need across America that I talked briefly about at the Economic Forum a few weeks back, of elderly people that do not have enough resources to live adequately. Then they'll have to live with their children or group together, and this project hopefully will be instituted all across America. But it takes a little bit of effort, it takes a little bit of time, and I know that Mr. Stern and Mr. Dunn and Mr. Miller and Mr. Quintanar, the list goes on. I know their hearts are into this just as much my heart is into it, because I know it's a tremendous need not only here but across America as well. And we need to move on that, and we have moved on that. And Mr. Arvalo from the Foundation for Senior Living has been most accommodating, and they're wanting this just as much as we are. They brought the general contractor down about a month or so ago, and he was delighted with the property. Obviously, we cannot build down by the highway because there's a big arroyo that runs under there. As the general contractor and I, we went down there and looked at it, and kind of difficult to climb out of that big hole. It runs under the highway there. You don't really notice it when you go across, but that's where the park area will be, up maybe about 5 acres up, and then further up where it kind of levels off, which is a great view. That is hopefully where the building project will take place. And for the press and or the public, I did construct a letter to Freeport, and so I should probably read that because it involves you as well. To Freeport MacMoran, dear Mr. Quintanar, as you know, the City of Bisbee has been consulting with you on the possibility of receiving land along Highway 92 to the north of Taylor Avenue in the San Jose section of Bisbee to build 40 to 60 housing units for the low-income elderly with a park for the citizens. The City has been working with the Foundation for Senior Living in regards to this project, and all involved are very excited about moving forward. The Foundation for Senior Living and the City of Bisbee believe this project will be awarded by the Arizona Housing Finance Authority, and we believe that will probably be awarded in mid-March or so. This is a formal request to ask Freeport MacMoran Incorporated for the donation of the land for this project to occur. The deed would be signed over to the City and then to the Foundation for Senior Living. However, if the project does not happen, the land would then be returned to Freeport MacMoran. We, the City of Bisbee, the Foundation for Senior Living, and no doubt the residents that would benefit from this project would be forever grateful to Freeport MacMoran for your generosity. Without the land donation, it is not likely this project could occur or would be extremely difficult for that to happen. Sincerely, Mayor Early.
Mayor, I move approval of your signature on this formal letter to Freeport MacMoran regarding possible land donation.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously.
Item number 4, discussion of possible approval of a contract with Emergency Vehicle Group Incorporated for the purchase of an ambulance. Mr. Mark Bernalite is the City of Bisbee Fire Chief.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Happy New Year to everybody. Come before you to answer any questions and ask for your approval of this purchase of a new ambulance. We were awarded a FEMA grant for this year, and $140,000 of that FEMA grant was earmarked for an ambulance. We have chosen, we were given 4 bids during the bid process, and EVG came the closest in price to our bid price. Total price for the ambulance will be $139,171.37. There are also a couple other benchmarks and earmarks that we have to use for the grant so that we qualify for the money. And one of them is the period of performance. We need to have the vehicle in service, registered and running calls no later than August 5th of this year. And so that's what eliminated some of the other bids. We had a bid from a company, Braun Company, They were $169,000 and unable to get the ambulance to us before August 1st. And Horton Ambulance was very high and passed the bid, $184,000, and they had a 300-day period before they could get it to us. We are happy with the ability to get this ambulance. It will definitely help our fleet and continue with carrying us and our program further and assisting the citizens of Bisbee with EMS and emergency services.
Thank you, Mr. Bernalite. We have one person signed up. Maybe this will be the right time to do that. Lucci Giacomino, former council member Lucci.
I just wanted to make a comment on the new ambulance. We are in sore need of another one. Our ambulances are relatively old, except the new one that we have now. And when I have, if I have to, hopefully not, have to ride to Tucson in our Bisbee ambulances again, I hope it's the new one. It might be a little softer riding than the old one. We are in sore need of enough ambulances to take care of our people. And I congratulate the firemen for their wonderful work that they do and for their diligence in seeking out these grants. And they need to get the approval to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me just make note of one thing. That FEMA grant, I believe, Mr. Bornelet, you might want to verify this, was for about $350,000. So the other approximately $200,000 will go to a new fire truck. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mayor.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the council?
And just a comment.
Council Member Klein.
I just want to echo what Mrs. Giacomino said. We know that you guys work extremely hard every day, all day, and you're still out there looking for grants, so I know we've put in for so many years for a FEMA grant, and I'm just so thankful that we were chosen this year and we have enough for an ambulance and for a fire truck, so congratulations.
Yes, ma'am, thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Chief Bernalite, thank you very much. You're doing a great job, and this is a great addition to our fire department. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the contract with the Emergency Vehicle Group Incorporated for the purchase of an ambulance.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments? No other comments? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 5, discussion and possible direction to staff regarding preparing a report describing the specific circumstances that would force an Arizona charter city into bankruptcy and or dissolution as incorporated a municipality as requested by the petitioner, Mr. Eric Farner. Let me, first off, he actually presented two petitions that night, and the second petition that night at the same meeting was requesting a work session regarding the financial discussion, and that meeting was held on December the 8th. So Mr. Farner did present that petition to the mayor and council regarding what would happen if the city is an Arizona charter city into bankruptcy or dissolution as an incorporated municipality. But the city is not anywhere near bankruptcy. We're paying our bills. Money's still rolling in. So we're not at that particular point in time. So this was referred over to the attorney's office, city attorney's office, and they've been somewhat working on this to a certain degree. But it's not an urgent thing because we're not anywhere near bankruptcy. We still have $1.2 million in reserves, but our economic situation does need to be addressed and looked at. So we are doing that. I am doing that. And so let me just refer briefly over to the city attorney, Ms. Elda Orduño.
Thank you, Mayor. Our office did look into this, and municipal bankruptcies are governed by Title IX of the Bankruptcy Code. And also the relevant provision for us in looking at this was Title 11 of the United States Code. That basically sets forth what would qualify a city to file for bankruptcy. There are several hurdles, but the main one that we looked at was There is a requirement for insolvency, and insolvency means that the city is not paying their bills. At this point, the city is paying their bills. There's no suggestion that the city won't continue paying its bills. So at this point, our office feels that we didn't take it any further than that, because we haven't crossed that hurdle where the city isn't paying those bills, and so we didn't go any further as far as looking at the other requirements. At this point, the city is paying their bills, and so to us, it's a non-issue.
Thank you very much. Any questions or comments from the council? Nope. So we will file that petition, and if you need to look at it in the future, we will do so. We'll now go to item number six, and we do have some people signed up for that. Discussion, possible approval, directing the city manager to look at the fire district as to feasibility of implementation. This was forced on the agenda by Councilmember Joan Hansen and Councilmember Doug Dunn. I will defer to either one of them.
Okay. I know that this is a topic that is very emotional to people. It is very controversial. People don't like the idea of a fire district. And I'm not saying that that's the direction we're going to go. But if you want the council and the city to make an intelligent decision, I think we have to have the facts. And that's basically what I'm asking for. What does it look like? What does it mean to the citizens of Bisbee and the residents? Will it increase your insurance? Will it increase your property taxes? What kind of service, what are the services going to look like? What is the financial aspect of it? That's all we're asking for. We're not saying that this is going to happen. But I don't know about you guys, but I would like to have the correct facts on it. There are so many rumors and misrepresentation out there. I want to know what the truth is, and that's what I'm asking for.
Councilmember Dunn.
Mayor, I've consulted with the city attorney, and I'd like to modify the motion proposal before us on the agenda, and I'd like to read that at this point, and then we can discuss that if it is seconded. It reads, I move to direct the city manager to look at a fire district. I'd like to add after that, and explore other funding alternatives for fire and related services, and pick up again as to feasibility of implementation. Again, I move to direct the city manager to look at a fire district and explore other funding alternatives for fire and related services as to feasibility of implementation. I so move.
Okay, we have a did you just make a motion?
Yes.
We have quite a few people signed up to speak on this particular item, so we can. I'm going to move to go to, before we get a second on this, let's hear I'd like to hear the public. So, you have an objection?
Part of the procedure, I think we can have discussion after a motion. Typically, that is how it's done.
Okay.
Do we have that will indicate that what we are actually debating this evening,
okay.
I think.
Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Some of the people that are signed up, let's start off with Lucci Giacomino.
One of the most important things to me about a fire district is that we have the best city fire department in the state. And anybody that's ever been handled by the fire department, emergency services, will attest to that. The Phoenix fire crews attest to that. The other thing is, with fire district, your property is taxed at 10% of the assessed value. You go to a fire district, it goes up half more. So anybody with a home will pay 15% of the assessed value. When you have historic sections, which part of our cities are only at 5% now because they get half off. If you go to a fire district, they raise 2.5%. So then your taxes in that district will be 7.5% of the assessed value. mine goes up 5%, I'm going to be in a world of hurt because I pay a lot of taxes in this town. A fire district to me is ridiculous in this town because this fire department and their ambulance service has brought in over $1 million a year with their services that they give. And to just dismiss that as nothing is horrendous to me. They treat accident victims, they treat hallucinatory victims, they treat everybody the same with compassion, feeling, and those people are never upset when they get there. They came for my son 5-6 times before he died, and he was never upset. They are calming, cool, wonderful paramedics, and they are wonderful firefighters. You get a fire in Old Bisbee, and you only get the next door singed, and those houses are 1 foot apart, and you're not going to get that in a fire district. We're going to get them from our firemen, and that's the only way you're going to get them.
Thank you, Luigi Giacomino. Next, we have Joni Giacomino, but I don't see her in the audience. But if she comes in, we'll go to her. Next go to Ken Budge, former council member Ken Budge.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Happy New Year. If you could bear with me for a little bit, I thought since this is on the agenda that it might be good if I could share some of my experience. Now, I'm no expert, but what I have had is I started studying this issue over 3 years ago, actually 4 years ago, and then restudied it again 2 years ago when we were passing the 1 cent sales tax. My background, of course, is from firefighting. I worked for over 10 years, served on the Utah State Retirement System Board, and also worked at the state legislature to produce a type of fire district for my former employer, which is now formed into a district which is called the Uniform Fire Authority, which is a 850-member department. So I have a little background on this, and I just wanted to try and share this with you if you give me a minute to go over a few things. So what is a fire district and why do they exist? Now, there's exceptions to all rules. There are more urban fire districts, but for the most part, they're very rural. Fire districts are created mainly because areas don't have a tax base, no commercial to have sales tax that will support a district. So they go for property taxes. That's generally what you see in this area and you see across the state. Examples would be Sunsites, Alfreda, Palominas, or even Fry, where cities like Tombstone, Douglas, Benson, Sierra Vista, and us all have a fire department run by the city. That's a main difference between fire districts. They're generally more outside the area. The last thing about most fire districts are they're mainly for fire suppression. Very few fire districts have advanced life support, ALS. They may have an ambulance, they may not. Most of them are part-time paid or total volunteer. And most of them don't have a CON or a certificate of necessity for the ambulance transports. So they're kind of a different animal on a general basis than what we in a more urban area have. Next, I just wanted to say, give you what I know about what it takes to start a fire district. First, somebody, and I don't know who this somebody would be, but that'd be one thing you may want to look at, and we'll have to petition the county supervisors. And the county supervisors have to decide if a need and necessity of even having a fire district. So if those group or people or whoever would want to push this forward, they don't have two votes from the county supervisors, you're dead in the water right there. So there's one thing probably ought to be investigated right off the get-go, whether the supervisors would even support such an idea. If they did support it, then actually that goes to the assessor's office. The assessor's office looks at the boundary area, and they produce a list of all the owners of the property and the assessed evaluation of those properties. They will then give that group, whoever this group may be, a number, which is how many signatures they must have, and realize a property may have five owners, but they only get one signature. So one vote per property. They don't get five. And they will have to meet a certain amount of the assessed valuation in those signatures. So not only do they have to have the number of signatures that he'll give them, they also have the assessed valuation. And once the petition sheets are taken out from the county to go out and get signatures to gather for this, they have 1 year to do so, to gather these signatures, and there can be no changes. You can't all of a sudden say, oh, King's X, I can't get Freeport to sign, so I'm not going to include them in my land area. You have to determine what your area is, and once that's set, it's set, and the petition goes forward at that point. So there are some things that you may want to consider in that basis. Next thing I just want to touch on real quickly is really it's all, why are we even considering this? It's budgetary, as we all know. So really I think the idea is, why don't we look at the budgetary aspects of a fire district versus what we do now? And of course our fire department is funded currently from the general fund, and which is derived mostly from sales tax and a smaller portion from property taxes. The fire budget that we have now is $2 million. We are hoping, and I'm very hopeful, that part of that $2 million will be offset by $1 million revenue that will be brought in. So that leaves a net cost to run our fire department at $1 million. Just as a side note, I looked at other fire departments in the area, fire districts also, who are, again, like I said, mostly outside, small departments, more volunteers, not ALS certified, and their budgets are almost close to $1 million to run just that type of district. So really, if you're to look at it, for $1 million, we're getting a pretty good deal as far as the service we receive versus the districts, which they have to go out and fund that. So one thing to remember about that $2 million, that our budget, 730 of it, and I hope Sharon will raise your hand. If anybody has questions while I'm saying anything, please stop me or correct me, is $730,000 is spent on retirement, goes to PSRS every year out of that $2 million, which funds the retirement system, which currently is $10.8 million behind in liability. A little over $8 million of that is just for the retirees that have already retired and for their beneficiaries. So with that all aside, I would hope, and I'm going to give the clerk this backup material, it's a little more from the my printer wanted to print out, but please take the time to bring up the actuary study from the PSPRS. I printed off a few sheets that I thought was, it's a 56-page report, of course, but this will give you the financial situation of it. Shows the $8.8 million for that were in arrears, shows the $10,125 for the total, and then it shows the really dismal part, which is our funding ratio, which is 4.9%. So we're only funded at 4.9%. That's pretty sad. It will show you what our funding levels have been from 2009. We used to pay 40% of salary. Of course, now we're up in the high 80s. Next couple of sheets on this page will say, what does it cost to actually for a working firefighter to put away for his retirement? It really comes to about 18% of salary. So where's all the rest of it go? Right there, 73% goes to the unfunded liabilities. So what we have here, in my estimation, is a debt problem where we've been living off our credit cards and paying the minimum for a long, long time, and now we're having to fund all these people that have already retired. The last one that's really interesting on the back here is to note what happens if you start paying off your debt. And on that, it's the impact of extra contributions. So if you can start paying down your debt, what you will see is their funding ratio starts to go up from 4.9 to 14%. And that's within a matter of like 3 years, paying about $300,000 a year. So, and what the best part of that is the contribution rate drops also. So as you pay that debt off, you don't pay 83%, you're now down to 70s, 60s, 50s, so on, which makes it much more manageable to pay for your personnel. So all those things are in that. The other thing I think it's really worth a good read is the auditor's report from the state about the public system. It's another fairly lengthy article, but it will really give you some down and dirty about what you're facing. Both those are written on the websites are written right here, and I'll leave those with the clerk. So let's look at actually funding a district. Now, I know the mayor said I could have more than 3 minutes because this isn't a call to public.
I don't have time on agenda items.
Okay.
And as long as they're interesting and moving forward, which you're doing very well.
Okay. So if a fire district is formed, the cost to run such a district will come strictly from property taxes, as you know. And thus, we are shifting the tax burden from sales to property. So my question would be to you, and I think it would be a very important question to ask among yourselves, is if that were to occur, if the fire district was to occur, now you have, Sharon said about $100,000, I say up to $1 million, that's in the budget that is no longer being spent on the fire department. So what all are you going to do with that extra $800,000 to $1 million? Well, some of it, of course, will have to go to debt because we have this huge debt. But the rest of it, and I'll call it here on my little sheet a windfall, because it really is a windfall, because you're no longer having to provide a fire department. So what do you do with the money? Well, in all rights, since the cost of this fire district is being shifted to a fire district, which is property taxes, those monies should go back to the property owners in the lower property taxes from the city. So if that was what you did in order to be fair to we taxpayers, that I don't have to fund two fire departments, one that doesn't exist anymore, and one that will be produced with a fire district, then where are you in the end? What you are in the end, you're in the same exact place you were before, which is only without a fire department. You don't have any really increase in money, and you still have the debt. So that's one thing to consider is it would be great to have an extra $800,000. You could start ramping up the library, better parks, a lot of other good things with the general fund, swimming pool, those kinds of things. But you as a legislative body, would you want to tell the people, no, we're still going to have you pay the same for the fire department, doesn't exist, or are we going to lower your tax?
Let me ask this, Councilmember,
sure.
Former Councilmember Budge. So in other words, I think the city takes in about $970,000 in property tax.
Yes.
So if the city did not relinquish that, the fire district, to maintain the service we have right now, would have to come up with another $1 million. In other words, that type of property tax would be foisted upon the property owners in the community, another approximately $950,000, $1 million. Is that correct?
Yeah. So yeah. On number three of my little sheet I handed out to you, in order to run the district, these are some things to consider. Where a district versus the fire department you have now. To run a district, you're going to need administrative staff. So you're going to need some type of auditor, some type of administrator, somebody to hire people, somebody to pay the bills. All those costs now are incorporated within the city and are already being paid for. So if a fire district is spun off, remember, you're creating a whole other level of government now, which then will require elections, cost of those, all those costs. So it won't be just a shift at the same price. It will cost more to run a district because you're now going to have another layer on top that you're going to have to take care of. So if we just go on the assumption that what I told, what we spoke about earlier, and you said, Mayor, $1 million net to run this new department, if they can keep their ambulance fees. And here's the real bugaboo that I don't think there's an answer for. Currently, the city of Bisbee has the con to provide ambulance service, which produces that $1 million. Once the fire district comes in, will they have that same con? Does it transfer directly over from the city? No. You'll have private ambulance services and so up there trying to take some of that con away. And if that happens, the cost will go through the roof to run the district because they won't have the ability to fend off and be able to use their transports in order to produce revenue. So there's a big consideration you need to consider is and find out from the state how the con will be handled, how the certificate of necessity will be handled. So if we take that that assumption of $1 million at least, and I'm saying $1.2 million to run the district, just as you said, the city charges $2.48 per 100 evaluation. And Lucci's right that the tax ratio for a residential home is 10%, historic is 5%, raw land is 16%, and business is 20%. So with that $2.48 per 100, that brings the city in $970,000, almost that $1 million. So really, all you have to do, and this is what I did, you get your little white card right here that you always get in the mail. You go to the end over here. It gives you your assessed valuation based on the 5, 10, 16, or 20%. And you times that by $2.48, and that's what your tax bill is to the city. And that shows up, when this shows up, and under all those things you have, it says City of Bisbee. Well, if I have to pay another $2.48, in other words, to produce that $970,000, for a house, for me, that's $670 a year.
Jeez. So let me ask, that's your city portion.
That's just the
not
city.
Not the entire no, portion. Yeah, that's the city portion.
Nothing else will change. Your about the Cochise College won't change, about the school district. Those are all set by themselves. But in order for the fire district to produce that $1 million, they'll need to run. It'll be more than that, to be quite honest. It'll be $1.2 million or $1.3 million. But we will get some money from the county. They have a small tax for fire districts, maybe $60,000, $100,000. That's another question. Might offset some of those, but it won't be as much. So I'm just trying to go on the basic assumptions of what it will do. We'll double. All anyone has to do is look at their tax bill, look at their city tax bill, and double it. That much, again, will have to go. Now, that can be offset if you all decide to refund the money back. Some of that will be refunded back down. But, again, it'll be up to you on what you want to do about that. So, to me, that's a pretty easy assessment of what it would cost to run a fire district. Basically, just take your tax bill from the city of Bisbee, and that much, again, would have to, at least, that would be the minimum needed to run a fire district. So that's my assessment on costs, and I think it's rough, but I think it puts us in a pretty, yes?
Ms. Buono, did you want to come up?
City Finance, sure been here a minute.
City Finance Director Sharon Buono.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, and former Council, Mr. Budge. One thing that I wanted to point out is that the property tax funds all public safety, not just fire. So the $900,000 that you're talking about also pertains to police services. So we just need to keep that in mind. So not all of that just goes to fire.
Well, obviously, yeah, it goes into the general.
Your property tax, the $900,000 that we were talking about, funds both.
It actually funds a general fund.
Absolutely.
Which is what portion is sales and what portion is that?
What, $900,000?
No, the general fund is primarily funded by sales tax.
Correct. What? Sales tax and property tax. $1 million of that is property tax.
And most, what's the sales tax portion?
No,
2-3.
He's
going to
do this to me.
Four to
okay.
About 4-1 or something.
Okay.
Right.
Right. But when you're looking at, you know, services to property, it's all of public safety that's funded from it. So that's my point, is to keep that in mind.
Right.
Thank you.
You're exactly right. I'm just saying that if there's money that we're not using for a fire department, that would free up some money. I'm just saying the $970,000 is what's funding the general fund now. That's kind of what it would take to fund the district somewhere else.
Yeah, the rough numbers are good, but I just wanted to. Yeah, we pay for more than just the fire department.
Yeah, absolutely.
Property tax.
Yeah, I didn't mean to infer that, and thank you for the clarification. I'll come to you for more, I'm sure. So that kind of tells us where it is as far as cost. I think gives you a good rough idea, and maybe somewhere that the city manager can start basing it on from there. Now we really have to touch kind of the third rail, which is the debt issue. Okay, what happens to the debt issue? What happens to that $8.8 million? Now this is just for fire that we owe the state. When a fire district is created, they hire all brand new people under a new system, and of course they won't have that debt. They'll be encompassing debt if their firefighters have already have time on. They'll bring that debt with them when they hire that firefighter, just like if they were to transfer from here to Tucson or go work someplace else. But all that accumulative debt, the $8.8 million, is still sitting on the city's books. Now, granted, we can get some relief of that if we decide to negotiate with the fire district, because they're going to have to take on debt themselves. They're going to have to buy stations, equipment, hire people, all this. We may be able to sell it to them, but I doubt it would be worth the $8 million that we are in debt. So there's a big question on how to make that all work out. Either the district takes on debt and bonds for it and builds stations and buys equipment and so on, or they buy it from us, and then we use that to pay down some of the debt, but we'll still be left with a good sizable chunk of debt. So on this district, of course, you don't inform it. They have to get over 50% of the signatures, that number we talked about, also over 50% of the assessed valuation. So here's kind of the big leap I see is if you can't get businesses on board, there's a lot of businesses in this town that own a lot of property value. And at 20% versus the residents at 10%, if you can't get them to sign, if you can't get the Safeway Center out there to sign, how many more homes at a $100,000 assessment are you going to have to get in order to reach that 50% assessment? I mean, how many businesses on Main Street want to sign for this and increase their debt load? And if they don't, that means you got to get more citizens. So that's a huge something to consider, whoever it is that decides to go after this. I think that's a legitimate concern. So in conclusion, what I'd like to say, and I do have a suggestion. It's a wild suggestion, but I'm hoping you'll let the city manager take a look at it. But I feel what we have here is a debt problem, not a fire department problem or a service problem. Okay, if somehow we can start paying down the debt, and it's going to take real money to do that, but it's going to take some time. But as we do that, if we can put in even $300,000 a year, which is less than a 0.5% sales tax and 1/4 of what it would cost to run a district. So if the people and the business would say, yeah, I want to keep my services at the quarter amount of the funding and put it on my property taxes versus a whole fire district, which would shift the whole load there, then, as you would see on that chart, you get a double gain. One, your debt goes down, the unfunded liabilities go down, and the rate that you're paying for your current firefighters goes down. And it's proportionally just keeps going down. The funding ratio goes up and looks better. And then in 10 years, at $300,000 change a year, you're going to pay down half of that debt in 10 years. So in 10 years, I really see that you could drop your funding rate from 80% to 40%. You could be half funded. And probably in the end, the city then could easily survive paying that kind of a rate until eventually, as we know, there will be a new system coming out of this legislature this year, I'm sure, which for all new hires, but it won't affect all these past hires. So how do we get that extra capital? You've talked about having sales tax. The other way, and this is where it gets kind of creative, and we'll have to take the attorneys a look at it, But there is a thing called the Community Facilities District. Now, it's mainly for infrastructure, but number six under that says enhanced municipal services, which means public service provided by the county or municipality within a district at a higher level to a greater degree than provided in the municipality, including such services as public safety, fire protection, street, sidewalk cleaning, landscape, so on and so forth. Now, that doesn't take supervisors. That takes you. You guys can form that yourself. It takes a vote of the people because you will be taxing them. So you'll have to have a hard sell and go out and say, this is how we're going to try to get ourselves through the next 10 years. Talks about how to form the district. It's the ARS 48-700s is what it's about. I won't take much more of your time, but I've left it with Justin. I think it's something worth looking into. It takes 25% of the property value to want it, and it takes just a special election, just like elect one of you to vote in favor, 51% of the electorate to vote in favor. So that might be a possible way of dealing with it, but it is increased taxes. I just didn't see any other quick way out of it, but that's some of the things I've been able to determine over my several years. So thank you for your time. If you have any questions?
Just one thing, just a clarification. And it seems to me that obviously a fire district would create a windfall for the city. Because the fire district, as you said, is going to, and I believe this to be true because I know the funding now, is going to need at least another $1 million on top of the ambulance fees that they take in. So it's essentially a moot point, but who gets damaged by this is the property owners, unless the city would relinquish that over to the fire district. I'm not sure of the legal ramifications of that. Is that a fairly correct analysis?
You can't really relinquish your property. You could lower your property taxes from the $2.48 back down and collect less than $970 that's going into the general fund.
But still, the fire district would also have to come up with another $1 million, and you say that's probably a low estimate.
Well, yeah. I mean, it costs us $1 million now. If you want the same level of service, I mean, that's it. There's no guarantee of that. The biggest questions to me is, does the con stay with the new fire district? Can we guarantee that? If it doesn't, it could cost twice. You could triple your taxes, your city taxes, in order to do it if they can't do the ambulance. They can't do the ambulance. And so that has to be guaranteed that the con stays and the ability to do that. So then it would cost $2 million to run the department. Well, not that much, because the ambulance costs money. You wouldn't be doing that. So I don't know what it would be. I haven't really done the assessment, so that's not a fair statement. So don't hold me to that one. So any can I answer anybody else or
any other council member? Let's go to Council Member Klein. She kind of indicated first.
No,
Council Member Sullivan then.
Oh, just one quick question.
Sure.
If you know, you probably do. The last thing you were talking about, the special tax, is that special taxing district for the public service improvement?
Well, there is a list this long of different kinds of special service districts or taxing districts. This one, which is not formed by the county but can be formed by a municipality, is called the Community Facilities District. There is another one you could look into, and I think that might even be a harder stretch, but there is a health district that you can create which will fund ambulance service. I guess the other thing to look at is we need to be creative. We need to think outside the box here, and how can we handle this and try to keep our service and not cost the taxpayer too much more money. Should we take the ambulance service and turn it into an enterprise fund? Is there a way to instead turn around and do a community service district and fund the fire department but run the ambulance separate some way in that order? I think there's ways that are there. I've seen it happen many times when I worked at the legislature, that creative ways to work around those types of, I think I have a little.
Well, so my question was actually, is that something we could do temporarily until the debt is paid off and then it kind of disbands, or?
Well, sure. If you could form this district and use it to improve enhanced services, you would disband it as soon as you would have to set up what it is it's for, and it's to raise, you know, $4.2 million for blah blah blah, and once that happens, it goes away, and then you could reauthorize it with another vote of the people. You know, you need to lay it out so the people aren't fuzzy on this. This is just me racking my brain for the last 2 years trying to figure out how to come up with this money. I mean, 2 years ago, I wanted some of the 1 cent sales tax to go to it, and by then we would have been down 600. We would have been able to pay almost 600,000 off of it instead of the asphalt. But the council at that time decided to go with asphalt, which I was on. It's just, that's the thing. We just have a debt problem, and we need to look at how we're going to pay down this debt and how to maintain the services as best. I don't see, there's so many roadblocks towards this fire district, some really hard things to consider, things that have to be guaranteed, and I don't know if you can, like the con and what the supervisors are going to think about it, and those kinds of questions need to be answered. So I'm throwing those out as suggestions.
A couple of quick points I would like to make. The public needs to understand that a fire board would be completely autonomous from the city, completely separated. So I know that there has been in the past an elected official, or maybe a few, suggested that the Old Bisbee Fire Station be closed down. The fire board could do that. I think that would be a tragedy for Old Bisbee, absolutely. I'm very hesitant to, I would never support a fire district because I think it would be too dangerous in a sense. I do want to make a point that because of, and correct me if I'm mistaken, Mr. City Manager, we are doing the inter-facility transports from Douglas right now? Is that correct?
Well, if there's a transfer that's coming from Douglas, that particular transfer comes up to Copper Queen Hospital, and we take the transfer from there.
Okay, so we do the inter-facility transfer, i.e. to Sierra Vista or Tucson or wherever that may go. So obviously that is a... You have to look at it from the business side. That's a revenue enhancer. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Can I make a comment on
Absolutely.
That? As soon as Copper Queen opens their emergency or their urgent care, that's going to stop. They aren't going to need that.
Mayor.
Councilmember Klein.
I don't believe that it will stop. It is going to be a standalone emergency room. We have so many transfers right now from a hospital. We will still have transfers from a standalone emergency room.
But not the number.
But we're going to have them.
You're not going to have the numbers that you have right now. It's going to go down significantly. I talked to Jim Dickinson about that, and that's exactly what they're expecting when that does come up.
Council Member Budge is easing back up to the microphone. We do have a couple more people signed up, but go ahead. No. Council Member Budge, go ahead.
No, I just didn't know there's any other questions.
Oh, okay. Any other comments or questions?
I just have one comment.
Councilmember Hansen.
I really appreciate all that information, Mr. Budge. I'm sure that the city manager is looking at that. The whole purpose of this being on the agenda is not to debate whether or not it is a good idea. It's to find out the facts, to get what it would take, and it may be that there's going to be too many hurdles. I don't know. But that's what I would like to know, and I would like the city manager to take a look at the entire situation, taking into account alternatives, which Councilmember Dunn had requested to be on that. So I don't know why we're sitting here debating on whether we want one or not, because that's not the question. The question is, do we want to look at a survey to get the correct facts? And then you can make a decision, and then... You know, all of this information can come out at that time.
I'm hoping all I was trying to do was give an overview of what I thought.
Yes, and I appreciate that.
And that's all.
Yes.
Mayor. Just a quick comment, would you? I would suggest to the city manager get a transcript of what Councilmember Budge has explained tonight. Oh, yeah, there you go. So I guess we already have it. Councilmember Klein.
I just wish to thank Mr. Budge for the information that he's brought forward. He's done this work before, and I think the reason everybody, when it came up on the agenda, it was really kind of vague how it was posted. And we've had this discussion. Believe me, this is not the first discussion we've had on this. It has come up time and time and time and time again. I think the public safety departments, both police and fire, really need to know that they are supported by the city, by the council, and, we have looked at a district so many times, and I think the information is there. I mean, we've had the information.
Okay.
You know, I'm really getting tired of the fact that the innuendo that not supporting the fire department if you bring up another alternative. That is not true. I do support them. I'm looking at all their alternatives. And I am just, all I am asking for is a study, a process. What would it take? Like I said, it may be too difficult to do. And it's not anything against our fire department. And all the assumptions are, oh, we're not going to have a fire department. We're not going to have the same people here. How do you know that? How do you know that? I want to know that for a fact.
Any other questions?
Sorry, I'm getting very emotional about this because I'm really getting frustrated.
Any other questions or comments from the council? We do have a couple more people to speak yet. Councilmember Sullivan, did you have a comment?
Just addressing what Joan mentioned about how do you know who would be on the fire department if it was a district, and I guess the answer is whoever put together the initial survey for the county supervisors would have to create basically a plan, and it would outline exactly who they wanted to be on it. And so there's a chance that it could be outlined in a way that it is the exact same people, and that's what's brought forward. Just saying.
It's actually the fire board.
Councilmember Klein?
It's actually the fire board.
Well, no, because that's how you create the fire board.
And then the fire board will then have the say on who is hired, and they will then take
But in
control.
That initial fire board, whoever is putting it together or asking to petition for it could elect those people on the board.
Yeah, that's
right
that's,
here.
Okay, we're going to go to, unless Councilmember Sullivan or Klein has some further comments, we'll go to Joni Giacomino. I believe she signed up. Are you here? Yeah, no. I'm sorry.
Impact statement.
My name is Tony Giacomino. I now live at 51 Lowell Avenue. I just bought a house in Bisbee. And I know it's not a debate. I just have questions. And it has to do with the taxation. And I just got clarified, I guess, that the historic district pays less than what a resident person pays. Business obviously pays more. I guess my concern is, now I even have a greater concern, correct me if I'm wrong in that statement, that county, people that live in the county will also be billed for the fire district. Is that what you guys just said? Never mind then, that's not my question. So my concern, I guess, is the fact that I already pay an outrageous amount of tax for this home that I just bought, and I'm just a regular average citizen. What's going to happen to all of our elderly people in Bisbee on fixed incomes when you guys instill a fire district that's going to cause those taxes to go up? Some of these people barely make it as it is. So my taxes right now are $1,300 a year, and I have a fairly lucrative job, and I use that term lightly to teach. If I'm on a fixed income and you jack my prices up, which is going to happen because obviously we have to support a district, who's going to catch these people? That are obviously going to fall through the tax. So what are going to happen to all our retired people, all our old people that don't have the extra income? And I know it may not be a concern. My other great concern about this fire district is the ambulatory system. I've now had two experiences with them, one last night. One, I had a family member who had to be transported. And due to my lack of clear-sightedness, I gave the ambulance people the wrong address, yet they still showed up to the site within 5 minutes. And this was in Warren. We don't have an ambulance service that's as quick and effective as the ambulance service that is here today. What's going to happen to the people in Bisbee? You know, you say there's going to be another one that's going to fill in the blanks. Who's going to be that person? I mean, that's just some of the questions I have as a resident now, you know, owning a home. I have a major concern because we have one of the best paramedic fire departments in the state, I feel. I've watched houses burn to the ground under their control because there was nothing they could do. But they kept other houses from burning down the fire Thanksgiving. I was at the basement fire, watching these guys put a fire out that should have literally taken out the whole mountainside. But because of their skill, because of where they are, because of how effective they are, they saved half of Bisbee technically, and I'm not overstating that. Anybody who's there would agree with me. We go to a fire district, and, you know, in your question, are we going to be able to have the same people? There's no guarantee. And the only thing you're guaranteed, I know, is death, taxes, you know, et cetera. We don't get the same people we have. Who are we going to replace them with? And are they going to have the same skill set to deal with the extraordinary circumstances of Bisbee? You know, these people are trained. These people know Bisbee. They know how to deal with the exceptional exceptionality, I guess, of Bisbee. So you're going to still be able to replace that with the fire district. And again, it all boils back to cost. Is it fair that the businesses who are going to be paying this big rent pay for the majority of a fire district? Is it fair that I, as a resident, pay this higher tax than a historic district? You know, I live in a house that's built in 1949. It's not in the historic district, but I'm still going to have to carry the brunt, I feel, of a historic district. And I'm not knocking the people that own it, but it just doesn't, it doesn't seem to balance out. You know, like San Jose, they're going to be carrying the brunt of the tax too. You know, is it going to be fair, the taxation? I mean, that's just something else that needs to be looked at. And I know people are grumpy about that, and I can't blame them now because I'm in that pool of taxpayers. So those are just my concerns. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Joni Giacomino. We have one more person signed up. That is Ms. Susan Blackford.
Good evening again. Susan Blackford, Warren, concerned citizens of Bisbee. Well, Councilman Hansen, I never thought I would agree with you, but I admire you for wanting to get to the facts. And that's what I've done. And I brought all the information and where you can find it, so start writing it down, everybody, okay, so where you can look it up yourself to find out the information that I think is important decision-making to help counteract some of the other information that you've been given. So I thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate that very much. I hope this council, as well as the Bisbee property owners, are listening to Councilman Budge, the Giacominos, and myself on the true facts of how dangerous, in my opinion, a fire district will be for our town. If you choose to believe all the wrong figures presented by Dave Smith and Councilman Dunn, then if this thing passed and what we are telling you are true, in my opinion and others, you will be responsible for destroying this wonderful town. Please remember that. All of you need to open your mind and ears and think for yourself. Why is this being done? Since Mayor Bedall flew in from the east, this has been an issue. Most important, who will personally benefit from a fire district and becoming head of it? I will review my thoughts on that towards the end. Fact, I told the council that if I misspoke, I would apologize. Well, I was right, but I was wrong. Where the police and fire department laws were located, they are not in the city charter, and I'm sorry for that. They are in the Code of Bisbee under Section 4, which reads as follows, that the city manager hires the police chief and the fire chief. So look that all up yourself. In my opinion, you are asking the city manager to violate the laws of Bisbee by checking into a fire district. That's just my opinion. Fact, I spoke to a very successful insurance broker doing business right here in Bisbee to get the following information. The correct facts are that our insurance rating is 5/5Y, not 6%, as Councilman Dunn said. And if we go to a fire district, our rating will go up to 10%, not down, like Councilman Dunn stated. Many insurance carriers, like Travelers, will drop this town as well as other insurance companies, thus leaving our insurance to secondary insurance carriers, and our property values will go down. Therefore, is that fair? No, it isn't. Since all Bisbee citizens use the fire department for various services, not just property owners.
In April 2013, at the City Council meeting, Mayor Badal, Councilpersons Dunn, Smith, and Connors voted down to purchase a new ambulance. A proven great revenue source. And we've been bringing up this whole year how we need to purchase another new one, not the one we got the grant from, and that could generate income. In my opinion, it was to put us in the budget hole so that we would have to go into reserves so that they could start promoting a fire district over our wonderful fire district. Fact. You can find out the rules on becoming a fire district on the Cochise County website. Just type in fire district. Please, you all, take the time to do this. There are 11 rules to follow to get started, like Councilperson Sullivan stated correctly. Let's look at number 7 that says naming the organizational board, since it's been an issue. In my opinion, who's to serve as a director? Maybe Dave Smith? Well, as a director, they could write their own rules as to time for response. Right now, the city, per their contract, the response time is 3 to just 5 minutes. Remember, the fire district will set their own response time, and they can do it longer than 3 or 5 minutes. The residents of Bisbee will lose their total control. Please remember that. Wonder if the fire district board decides it costs too much to run. Remember, they will be paid a salary and turns it into a volunteer fire district. Wonder if they decide to close a firehouse in Old Bisbee, as Councilperson Dunn has stated before. What happens if we get another Moon Canyon fire? Can a volunteer-type fire district get there in time? Remember, Dave Smith was a witness for the guy who started the fire against our own fire department. Why? He lost the case, by the way, the city one. Will the fire district give the ambulance service to Arizona Ambulance? And I believe Dave Smith is in favor of doing that. Why? Who gave? These are the articles about the budget and what I previously said. Okay. AMR. Okay. Arizona Ambulance is owned by two men, and one of them is or has been the CEO of AMR, a national company. You need to look that up, that comes in and takes over small town ambulance services and controls it. Look at our Copper Queen Hospital, who have an agreement with Arizona Ambulance. Again, why? Start looking into AMR national records for yourself. It's all on the internet. This is not hard to do. All right, let's go back to the fire district rules on who signs the petition to become a fire district, okay? It must be signed by more than one half of the property owners in the proposed fire district. On an average, give or take, we have 3,000 standing properties here in Bisbee, and we do not know what the fire district will look like. Ken Budge is perfectly right on that. I am afraid that all the people have and will read is what Dave Smith has put in the articles about becoming a fire district and how it would save us money. That cannot happen. Listen to what the rest of us are saying to you and go to yourself and look up the facts. The facts are the facts, as Councilperson Connors always states. Another thing. Go to the internet again and look up Arizona Fire District Association study dated 2015. I don't see any of you guys writing this down.
Right.
Thank you. Come on, Councilman Hanson, write it down. Okay. Under Section 5.5, which states fire districts have a multiple of expenditure cost drivers, which are out of the direct control of each agency. These significant cost increases on expense items that the fire district cannot control, coupled with reductions in revenue, have fiscal stability implications. According to interviews conducted with fire districts, they found faced with budget issues, fire districts will begin to reduce services. This is a real general fact. go to the internet and read what the facts are with the study, okay? City Council, you've heard statements by myself and Councilman Budge, as well as others, and you've heard from Dave Smith and Councilman Dunn. Reading Dave Smith's thoughts is how we will save this town. There is proven documentation out there that this is not true. We have one of the best fire departments in the state. And last year they came here, in this article, it's in the paper, they showed you for an hour and a half all the wonderful reasons of what they do to take care of all of us. And it is true. All this talk, Councilperson Hansen, about being a fire district is causing unrest in the fire department. And I have been told personally that some of them right now are starting to look for another job because they're very uneasy and do not think they have a future in this town. We need to assure them, these great guys that worked so hard for to save our lives, that they do have a future and we do appreciate what they are doing. You all are in the council, and in this town, in my opinion, are being set up to do one of the worst things you could do by letting this go to a fire district. Who will want to move here if we're a fire district? Not the elderly? Will this affect the new senior citizen living bid that the mayor has been working on? Think about that. What is next, a police department? You yourselves need to get out there and hear all the wonderful stories of people saved by our fire department. People, call your councilperson and tell them your stories if you've done all of us. You all want to trust your health or your kids to a fire district volunteer? This is not the city manager's job to do, to counteract the codes in the city of Bisbee. It is your responsibility, council people, to go and do your own homework and then have a debate and not schlep it on somebody, in my opinion, who is going to violate the old city codes and put him in that position. I don't think that's right. This is not how we are going to reduce our costs. Let's take the time for all of you to look into this idea. It's not hard. Take the time to go over what has been said by each of us tonight. This is your job. You wanted this job. Then do your job. Therefore, let's not pass this agenda item tonight, okay? And look into other items that will not be so self-serving and destroy this town. Thank you and amen.
Ms. Susan Blackford, thank you. I have no other people signed up for this particular agenda item. We do have a motion and a second. Is there any further comments or questions from the council? Council
Mayor, the motion before us is, I move to direct the city manager to look at a fire district and explore other funding alternatives for fire and related services and to feasibility of implementation. Certainly when we had our session, lose track of the time here, looking at alternatives for funding alternatives, I presented 3 pages of ideas, only one of which was exploration of fire district. And I still see that a fire district is probably going to be extremely challenging, if at all possible. Certainly, the information that's been shared here has been fire districts are normally created to provide service to a rural area that is now currently not now served. And all the information that was provided tends to be around that area. It would be... What we're looking at is what can be done in a creative manner, and I guess the word that I most want to emphasize from Councilman Budge is creative, to look at all options, what would be possible in terms of, and again, I've had some interaction with the city attorney in terms of what would be possible in terms of utilizing a fire district to finance our existing fire department. Comment made by Councilman Anna here, public safety needs to know that they are supported. And I really want to stress that over and over again. We currently, frankly, are on an unsustainable, our current budget is unsustainable. We need, public safety needs to know that this council is working diligently to show them that they are supported by ensuring that this department is sustainable over the long term. We argue here, I mean, this is interesting that somehow we have all these experts that are going to tell us what should be done rather than looking to the people who are true experts who have offered their services to Chief Bernalite as well as our city manager in terms of coming to us, really looking at what, how would you approach a district in an area that already has an established fire department? I mean, that's a very perverse question. But we need to look at something. I mean, it's not something that's been done in the past. Certainly, for a fire district, the work is going to have to be, the information is going to have to be very persuasive and very insightful. I acknowledge that. But there are a number of other ideas that were listed. The idea that Councilman Budge concluded on in terms of looking at a special service district, I also looked at that. I did not see in terms of what other departments in the state, fire departments reported they were using in terms of increasing funding. I did not see that as something that was being widely used currently, but I really would like to investigate that. And that really is the basis of the motion before you is that we commit staff under the direction of our city manager to look at various options and to evaluate their feasibility in terms of making the fire department in this community that we love and depend on, making it sustainable for the long term. I'm very frustrated by this debate on just one issue, of which were many that were proposed, and automatically eliminating, saying that won't work, we're right back to where we have been. We need to look at options, and that is the purpose of this motion before us, is to direct the city manager and staff to investigate options and come back with us, quote, with the facts. I think that's what we're all looking for, the facts. And certainly a very persuasive argument is going to have to be made to all of us to get us all united, this diverse council, behind anything. And certainly that staff is, that's the assignment to staff. But this continuing back and forth, I don't see we're going anywhere. I'm afraid that we're going to be leaving our fire department hanging out there without long-term support and sustainability. Thank you.
Councilmember Sullivan.
Okay, Mayor and Council. I know we have a, it's on the table right now, but I would like to also suggest another amendment to that. Should I wait? I think it would be a good idea to have a panel of people work on this with the manager rather than just the manager, perhaps some of the experts, so it's not just thrown on his lap. Like we said, maybe Council Member Budge, perhaps Chief Bernalette, perhaps County Assessor, or somebody that can evaluate tax percentages and things of that nature to look with a more sophisticated eye and not just the city manager.
Mayor, that's what city managers do. Just what you described is what city managers do, is pull together all the various experts, all the knowledgeable people that they can come to bear. And certainly I would see that the city manager would be the leader in terms of pulling that together. Again, talking with the fire chief and city manager, people have already offered to work with us. We already have a group of people who have an interest and some background. We're encouraging them through this motion to move forward.
Okay. Councilmember Klein.
Well, I think that I think the city manager has probably taken note of what's being requested, and he does have information. And of course, he is going to be working with the fire chief very closely and those that are in the know. So I don't think we need to take formal action on that. I think he knows what he needs to do.
Well, Councilmember Hanson, I'm sorry, I didn't get to you yet.
I just want to thank Councilmember Dunn for being so eloquent on the subject, since I let my emotions get the better of me. But that is the whole thing, is getting the facts so that we can make an intelligent decision. And I don't know why it cannot be a formal motion.
Councilmember Connors.
Thank you, Mayor. It's odd. I feel like I'm the calmest one up here when I'm usually the nut. But I need to point out a few things. That the people that are asking for the city manager to look into the feasibility and to try to get to the facts, that we're being distracted by words like destroy, true facts, correct facts, you're not from here, you don't support us, we've tried it, and these are different times. This is a different time. 2016, economy's different. The population's different. Everything is different except for the people that are afraid that things are going to change. And things are going to change. But we're going to have a fire department. We'll have fire personnel that will put out fires. By denying, the city manager is asking for direction, and we're trying to give him direction, and people in this room are trying to misdirect and redirect and use incendiary and very emotional words to maintain the status quo, which nobody can deny in this room and up here at the dais, that it's absolutely positively unsustainable. Every year, everything goes up, and to think that our taxes and the bills that we pay are not going to go up, it's ludicrous, because they are, regardless of whether we can afford them or not. And I know that the city can adjust tax or bills, the things that we bill for, and I imagine, I don't know. So it's not a fact whether a fire district could do the same thing for low-income people. But to scare us into not wanting to look at, with all emotion out of the room, and just the city manager and experts sitting around, to try to dissuade him from doing that is a total disservice to this town. I mean, we're up here to do things, and we don't like a lot of the things that we have to do. We don't enjoy doing this, but we're responsible for making decisions. And just three years ago, and I said it, I think, a couple of times, the city council was put upon the city council to make decisions they could have and absolutely should have been made at a department head level. And we didn't create this pickle that we're in. This city council did. And I'm not going to talk historically, but we're up here dealing with it. And if we don't do something different than what we're doing, then it's only going to get worse. And services will be compromised. They will. They are. You know, everything that we do is different than the way it used to be. And I'm with everyone else. I have a fairy tale memory of what it was like in 1961 to 1970. I remember those days, but I don't live there. I live in 2016, and this is where we need to be. Sober thinking, real numbers, and give him the chance to work this out. and not debate it up here. Just say, please, check into this. And he's not going to do it all. Mr. Johnson's not going to do it all himself. He's got other things to do. So, you're right. I'm not from here. I do support fire and police. And when I hear that we've tried it before, well, it's different now. Let's try it again. Different personnel, different chiefs, different city council. Maybe people are willing to work together in a different manner. That's what we're looking for. I don't like it, but I have to do it. And if I didn't do it, I would be just shirking my duty. And I only have to do it for 22 more meetings, believe me. You know? So, you know, just give us a chance to do our job up here. That's all we're asking. We do support the fire. We do support the police. Thanks.
Any other comments or questions from the council? We do have a motion and a second. There's no more comments on this particular item agenda. I need a roll call vote, Ms. Coronado.
Councilmember Connors?
Aye.
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Nay.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Early?
Nay. Motion passes 4-2. Next, we will go to the city manager's report.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to update you all and let you know. I'm very happy to report that the other day we were up at the library, and surprisingly, we received a donation in the amount of $20,000 to the library, and it was coming from the estate of Charles Angus. And in speaking with the licensed fiduciary up in Tucson, we can expect another donation in the coming months. So I was very excited to see that. In community development in 2015, the building official, he reports that we had an increase in the total number of building permits issued. Total increase is about 19% from 231 permits issued to 275 permits. And so we were really excited to see that activity picking up. And also, Cochise Animal Hospital donated some refurbished cat cages to the city of Bisbee by way of the Friends of the Bisbee Animal Shelter. So we're very thankful for that. The Visitor Center, Jen reported to me that for calendar year 2015, the Queen Mine Tour served about 38,498 visitors, which is a slight decrease from 2015, but right around that same ballpark. City operations, one of the things we talked about during the budget process is that we would, you know, kind of get halfway through the year to revisit the extension of the furlough schedule, and so we may have an opportunity to potentially, I'm not sure yet, to pull employees off of the furloughs. And so in the coming next couple of weeks, Sharon and I will start to look at the financials and have a more clearer picture by the end of this upcoming pay period. And you know, lastly, in public works, Eric Vega in sanitation has reached his first milestone with the city. He successfully completed his six-month probationary period. And also, I'd asked, I was kind of driving around the community observing things, and I noticed the number of signs, street signs, stop signs kind of hanging, looking ragged and tattered. And even at night, some of the ones aren't very reflective, which you know, in and of itself can be a safety issue. So I directed the Public Works Department to start evaluating all of the street signs. So we're about 500 signs that need to be replaced, and so the crews are will go ahead and get started with the installation of street signs and things of that, and wayfinding signs throughout the city, so that we can have a more attractive appearance throughout the community. So I just want to let you all know that, and Mayor, that is all I have this evening.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I ask the city manager a question?
I guess, well, be careful how you phrase it, because it's not a.
It's just for clarification. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Who was the donation from?
It was from the estate of Charles Angus, A-N-G-U-S.
Is he from here? Or?
I don't know. When I talked to the fiduciary, she didn't give me a whole lot of details. So I don't know what, but we'll get information about what's in the will,
some of the requesting documents that went to the library that didn't make it to City Hall, so we'll be getting that on tomorrow. So I have more details, but I certainly wanted to take this opportunity to at least tell you that part today. But it's from the estate of Charles Angus.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you.
Do we have a motion?
Sir, are we going to do council comments?
I don't think anybody signed up, are they?
Well, I tried to.
You were too.
No, I don't think there's anybody's name down there. I looked twice, actually.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.